All right, thank you for being here tonight, the first Thursday of the year. A couple things we didn't announce. There is a bridal shower for Melody Gonzalez on January 14th. That's not this Sunday. That's not this Saturday. That'd be a week. Okay, at 1 o'clock in the fellowship hall. So all the ladies, you are invited to that. And if you want to know what gift to get her, she's registered at Bank of America, okay? I mean, she wants cash. I don't know if you know that. So I do encourage you. We started the Bible Institute a few years ago, and our first class was right in the middle of when COVID started. And we got off to a great start. We've been having other classes. And I encourage you strongly to come to that. If you can work that out, over the course of 2 years, we have 10 classes. They're each 6 weeks long. And the cost is $10 a class. We give you a book. I'll give you the notes. We give you a booklet. We give you some things to listen to and so forth. And so, and if you get those 10 classes, and then you would graduate from there. And I'm excited about teaching the book of Proverbs starting next week. And so I encourage you, it's 6:10, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right? What's the time? Brother Joseph, he's out for discipleship. I believe it's 6:10 or 6:15. I know it's 6:15 to 6:50. And we'll meet up in the chapel right before the service, and so it makes it easy for you. But I encourage you, if you've not come, to come to that. You can jump in at any time. The classes are on an ongoing rotating schedule, and I'm looking forward to being with you next week. And then, of course, this week is Vision Sunday. We will announce our theme, okay? And teenagers walking around say, hey, what was that theme again? It's like, I didn't tell you. You'll find out on Sunday. And I'm excited. I get excited about all of them, so don't think too much, right? But this one, I think, is very important, particularly dealing with the times in which we live. And so I think it'll be an encouragement. And I will go over that on Sunday. We'll give you the calendars and the different things that we give you, a little bag with a pen and all the different stuff, and refrigerator magnet, so you can pray for us every time you go to the fridge. And if you did that, I'm sure we would have revival, right? So... And that is that. We are starting the last chapter of our discipleship book. We had two of them. And so we are finishing up, continuing on. And the first one was just the basics of the Christian life. If you weren't going to church here at that time, I would encourage you to go through discipleship on Thursday night with your Sunday school teacher or someone from your Sunday school class, and you'll go through that book and you'll learn those different things. The second book that we've been going through is just different things that help us in our Christian life. It's a little more of a next level type thing. We're starting a chapter entitled Spiritual Fruit. And this will be the last one, and we'll spend a few weeks on it. And then we will move on to another subject on Thursday nights. But I think this will help you as we go through it. You know, when we think of health and fruit, a healthy tree produces good fruit. And a healthy Christian also will produce or show spiritual fruit in their lives. I know I mentioned many times you can fool people for a while. But you know yourself, and you know if you look at your life and the fruit of your life, you can figure out whether or not you're spiritually healthy. Now I understand, none of us arrive. All of us have always got to be going forward, and there's always more that we can incorporate in our life, and we can always become better, and I get all that, but you know that if you're going in that direction. Think of it in terms of a church. A growing church is a healthy church, yep. Right? If you have a healthy tree, that tree is growing. And that tree is exhibiting signs of health by the fact that it is growing and it shows it's healthy. And a healthy church will not just be a growing church, it'll also be a fruitful church. Yep. There will be things that are happening that are spiritually good. Amen. By the way, I wouldn't want to be a part of a church that wasn't seeing good things happen. Come on. Right? Yep. I mean, there's not much time left in this world. Why would I want to waste my time? That's not even just being a pastor. I wouldn't want to sit in the church if I'm not seeing good things happen. And by the way, I'm very excited. We came out of COVID last year, and we had a good year, and we really got back to normal. There was a couple of the areas that took a little bit longer to get back to, but we've gotten back to normal. We started some things, an outreach to the homeless, and some are coming from that. And then we were able to get back over into, is it Magnolia Royale? I keep thinking of the old name. Vista Del Mar. Magnolia Royale. I always love every year they have a senior prom. Get it? For all the older folks. But we're back in there, and then we started the new one over here. I don't know the name of that place. What is it? Anyhow, I went over there and preached. We go over there and teach a class on Saturday. Very, 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 very encouraging and challenging. And then we bring all those wheelchair folks coming. I always see them every week, and they're back here in the back against the wall. And I'm like, you know, you guys have to take over the whole wall. You're halfway there. We got to get more of you folks here. And by the way, that started with one person. And then Gary started talking with him and going over there, and now there's 10, 12 sometimes that are coming. There's a nurse over there that gets them up and helps them to get ready. Our teenagers run over there. And by the way, teenagers, I saw the video. Be sure that when you're pushing them, you're not going crazy, all right? And they push them back and forth. By the way, if the lights come on, ding, 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 and those things go down, you know what that means? Wait for the train to pass, all right? The last thing we need is, you know, church pushes wheelchair into oncoming train. We don't need that. But I'm excited, and the bus ministry is going back to where just about where it was before. And actually, it is to where it was before, and things are going well because we are a growing church, which shows that we're a healthy church, and we can tell we're a healthy church because we're a fruitful church. People being saved and baptized, and people coming to the services. But if we're going to be a healthy church, we have to have growing Christians, right? We can't have people that are just coming here. It's like, I've been here forever. I'm older than the furniture in this building, and probably I've been here longer than the furniture of this building. And if you've been here more than 2 years, that's the case in here because everything's new. But, you know, and so I got my spot, I got my place, and just leave me alone. I'll show up, and I'll give, and I'll do that. But that's not what God wants. God wants you to grow, okay? And I'm never going to stop pushing you on that. But a growing Christian is also a healthy Christian. If you're growing, like I mentioned earlier, that shows that you're healthy. But you can tell because if you're healthy and you're growing, you're going to be fruitful. God is going, you're going to exhibit spiritual fruit in your life. And we're going to talk about that. An orange tree, if we had any type, you can pick it. I have an orange here. If you had an orange tree, it's not producing oranges, then you would say something is terribly wrong. You know something is wrong with the health of the tree. We would know that there's a problem because healthy trees produce healthy fruit. And the same holds true for us. God wants us to be healthy. God wants us to be fruitful. We're going to look at how that happens over the next few weeks. So the key is that we are spiritually healthy, which is a sign that we are growing. And the end result will be spiritual fruit in our life. Now, I will say this. The fruit that we produce that becomes evident in our life is not something you can produce on your own. Right? Who knows what the fruit chapter is in the Bible? Anybody remember? John? Chapter? Thank you. 15. If I had to say 15, yeah. 15, right? And what does he say right in the middle of that chapter? For without me, you can do nothing. He doesn't say you can do a little. He says, for without me, you're going to do nothing. You know what nothing is? It's a zero. Yep. Oh, you can do some things, but nothing of spiritual or eternal value. Yep. To do something that is of eternal or spiritual value, you need God's help. Amen. Right? And say, well, I understand we have responsibility, and I'm never going to get away from helping us to understand the responsibility and the things we're supposed to do. But as we're doing the things we're supposed to do, and primarily our relationship with God, the natural outgrowth is fruit. An orange tree doesn't have to really work to produce fruit. It needs to be healthy. If it's healthy and everything's in place, the oranges will grow, or whatever tree you like. So when a Christian is healthy, the Holy Spirit of God will naturally produce fruit in your life. And we're going somewhere with it. And of course, we're going to end up in a Galatians. So we don't work to produce fruit. Our job is to grow. That's it. We have to do the things that cause growth. And the number one thing that causes growth, if we go back to John chapter 15, is abiding in the vine, our relationship with God. Now, I know how it is. At the beginning of the year, everybody's fired up about their Bible. And this is the, what day is it? The 5th. And so you're all excited about the book of Genesis, right? It's a good book. But let me explain to you. Genesis is here, but Leviticus is coming. Numbers is coming. And by the way, I enjoy those books and I can get some things out of them. But I get it. But what happens is we're all excited and a week later, you know, it's like for some people, they must think Genesis is the only book in the Bible because they don't get through it. Some of our teen boys were telling me, I think there's a group of them, they are reading, now listen to this, they are reading their Bible through in 1 month. So if they're on target, which they told me they are, then they're already through Leviticus, Numbers, and they're into Deuteronomy. Okay? Say, have I ever done that? No. I read my Bible through one time. The first time I ever read it through, I did it in 3 months. Okay? It was all new to me. But the point is, you're saying like, Pastor, are you telling us to read it through in a month? No. But you ought to be reading it daily. You ought to get through it at least once a year. And it's important. And as we are connected with God in our relationship and we're striving to grow, we're going to be spiritually healthy. That's just the outflow of it. You cannot help but be healthy spiritually if you're spending time with God. I've never had, and maybe it's happened. Now, none of us are perfect. You understand what I'm talking about. I've never had somebody that's had some kind of horrific thing in their life and they got into some kind of gross sin who came in and said, you know, I'm struggling with this and it's taken over my life, but I've been reading my Bible and spending time in prayer with God every day. I've never, ever, ever had that. Now, if you're praying like, Lord, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray my Lord. Okay, that's not helpful. Okay. but never. I don't know how many times I've had people come in, and we'll talk about some, and it's not always bad things, but just things they're trying to work through. And I don't know how many times I've heard them say, you know I'm not spending time with God like I should. I know I'm not reading my Bible like I should, but, and I want to say stop. That's the problem. Okay? It is. I don't know how many years ago it was. We had a theme about the Bible. I forget, Living by the Book. How many remember that one? I don't remember it either. So Living by the Book. And I remember the very first message I said, and I believe it's true, 90 to 95% of our problems would go away if we did spend time in God's Word every single day. And we strove to live and do what it says. Most of our problems would go away. Because if we're doing these things, we're going to be healthy. And if we're healthy, spirituality, fruitful spiritual things will naturally result from our lives. Things I struggled with, even as a unspiritual, unsaved teenager, there was things in my life, I remember even as a teenager, I didn't like. Things people would say, and there was things about my, you know, whether it was my foul mouth or some of the things I was doing, and people would make comments about it, and I'd get mad. Now, I'd walk away and say, well, yeah, of course they're right, but I didn't like that I was called out on it, and it bothered me. But I could do nothing about it. But when I got right with God and started spending time with God and going to church, I didn't have to work very hard. Those things just kind of went away. Why? Because I had God helping me. I had him producing some spiritual things in my life, and it was very simple to quit doing those things. And so that's what we need to do. Fruit is a natural occurrence in the life of a Christian who is healthy and growing. And understand this about fruit. Fruit identifies us. It tells us what kind of person we are. Look at your life. What are the things that are just natural, the things you just naturally do in your life, you're just naturally excited about, you're just all of those things. If they're not primarily spiritual things, then we know that you're not being identified. And not the kind of identifying, I'm a guy and I think I'm a girl, okay? We're not that. It's just identifying you. You're not being spiritual. Okay, there has to be a desire. There has to be a passion. These things that come out because we're excited about God. Fruit also exposes us. Tells us what kind of progress we're making. By the way, that should encourage some of you. You can look back on your life and you say, you know, who I was 2 years ago is vastly different than who I am today. Now, it's not going to be where you want to be 2 years from now, but listen, you're not what you were 2 years ago. Thank God for that. Yeah. That's showing, hey, you're making progress. No one expects perfection. We're just looking for progress. You say, well, I want to be perfect. Get over it. Okay, it's never going to happen. But you can progress. Yeah. You can get better. And so what kind of progress are you making? What kind of fruit will we produce? The fruit produced is representation of the tree that produced it. So if an apple tree produces apples, oranges produce orange. So if the Holy Spirit is producing fruit, it's going to be spiritual in nature. And it's going to be evident. Fruit is not inward. It starts inward, but it grows outwardly. Inwardly, we're healthy. Inwardly, God's working on our life. And then as he does, outwardly, we produce different fruit. So in this chapter, in this lesson, we're going to look at specific qualities or fruit that the Holy Spirit can produce in our life. These qualities are not ones that we can do in our life without the Spirit of God. You know where we're going to go. We're going to go to the fruit of the Spirit. Let me just say this. Spiritual life, spiritual fruit is spiritually produced. It is. And the things, I read the list. We're going to go over all of it. And I read those things and I'm like, that's not my personality. I don't want to be, you know, gentle, meek, long-suffering. I want to be, get it over with, get it done, don't bother me. What's wrong with you? And don't look at me because that's how you are too. But to the degree that we can do these things is to the degree that the Spirit of God produces fruit in us. We can be more long-suffering than we were before. Why? Because God's developing that in our life. We can be gentle and kind and meek and all these other things that are not natural to us because it's not natural to the flesh because the Spirit of God produces that in us. And thank God for that. Or else we'd all be in a lot of trouble. We don't manufacture it ourselves. Not self-produced, it's manifested because the Spirit produces us. Now, what is the key? The more receptive we are to the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the more consistently these qualities will be evidenced outwardly through us. It's all about, are we receptive to what the Spirit wants us to do? Are we respected? By the way, the thing that we need to understand, it's an ongoing process, and the process can be derailed, right? I mean, you know, if you're an impatient person, and God works on you, and you start to show patience, that doesn't mean that now it's guaranteed you'll be patient for the rest of your life. You'll have that time that you're, you know, you start getting away from God, you know what happens? All those things come back. Why? Because now you're not walking in the Spirit anymore. And so as we constantly go, he develops this fruit and he helps to maintain it in our life. But we have to be willing to submit to his work. So what are we going to look at? We have two things. We're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit. But first of all, I want us to notice the works of the flesh. That is the opposite of the qualities of the works of the fruit of the Spirit. Right? It's always a battle. We can either give in to the works of the flesh, or we can let God produce the fruit of the Spirit. Look at Galatians 5, verse 19. I'm going to have you turn to that chapter in a minute. We're going to go through a few things by way of introduction. He says, now the works of the flesh are, what's that next word if you're there with me? Manifest. Which are these? Just like the fruit of the Spirit is manifested in our life outwardly, so are the works of the flesh. You can pretend to do the spiritual things and hide that for a while, or you can hide the works. It's going to show up one day. You can't hide it forever. There was a guy, and I won't give the story. I don't want to give the details of it. Many years ago, in early days of the church, we were working with another group. They were trying to help someone in our church, and it was another Christian group. And I'd call and I dealt with this, and I was the one dealing with it, and I call and deal with this one guy that was working there. And he was just one of these guys that, and there's nothing wrong with it, but just, you know, just the spiritual talk was real syrupy. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Hey, you know, brother, and all this stuff. And it was always like, wow, you know, I don't always talk like that. You know, this guy's really on point. And we dealt with many things. Come to find out that that through a process of things, he was doing something behind the scenes that he shouldn't. That was actually being hurtful for what we were trying to accomplish. And so he called me one time, and he said, hey, brother, everything's well, you know, the Lord and all this. And I said, hey, I have a question. I said, did you do this? And it was real silent. And I kid you not, he snapped back to gang talk. Whoa, dude. I'm like, whoa, what happened to, hey, brother? He couldn't hide it anymore. He got caught. So this is not something, it's going to come out either way. And so I just choose to try to avoid the works of the flesh. Because if we're not growing and producing the fruit of the Spirit, then listen to this. You are naturally going to default to the flesh. See, there's no middle ground. We cannot say, I'm not really in on this fruit of the Spirit. I'm just kind of halfway in and, you know, I'll kind of just go to church and this type of thing. But, you know, this whole growth thing, I'm not really in on that. Then you're going to default to the works of the flesh. There's no middle ground. You have to understand that. There is no middle ground. The flesh is strong. The flesh is going to dominate. You can read it in Romans. We talked about sin. One of the messages, don't let it have dominion over you. It may have been on a Thursday night. I don't know. It all kind of blends together. But the point is, you're going to default to the flesh. It's natural. The flesh just rears its ugly head. And when we're walking in the Spirit and God's developing the fruit, now we can rebuke the flesh. But I'm just telling you, you're going to default to the flesh. Therefore, you must choose. Who do you want to be? What do you want God to do in your life? A man named William James said, when you have to make a choice and don't make it, that is in itself a choice. It's not yes or no. It's not yes or, you know, yet. And I don't want to do yes here, but I'm not going to do that. It doesn't work that way. You've made the choice. If we make the choice not to allow God to work in our lives to help us to grow and the Spirit to work on us, you have made a choice for the flesh. You say, but I didn't choose the flesh. You don't have to. He already chose you. He's already there. That's like how many of you ever, when you were kids, you met up with a bully. Some punk guy, you know, he's messing with you, and it's like, well, you know, I know you're going to do that, but I'm not going to fight you. Well, look, he's going to start throwing punches. So you might as well just throw the first one. Okay, you might as well just step up because they're not going to take no for an answer. Well, no, I'm a pacifist. Okay, you know what a pacifist is? It's someone that's on the ground bleeding. I'm just telling you, if someone's going to cause trouble, you deciding I'm not going to fight back doesn't help because they're fighting. And that's what the flesh does. The flesh doesn't say, okay, you don't want to fight. You know, I'm going to back off. And so let's be very, very careful. The flesh and the Spirit are total opposites and can never be compatible. And it's only through the Spirit that we overcome the flesh. And if the Spirit is not working, then we will be overcome by the flesh. So this would be, as we read these verses, what the Bible calls the works of the flesh. And we're going to read through them. By works, we mean the actions and deeds that are produced as a result of our being controlled by our sinful human nature. You may not like to hear this, and I don't want to hear it, but we're controlled by something. Yep. And spiritually speaking, you're going to either be controlled by the Spirit of God, or you're going to be controlled by your flesh. Yep. Someone's going to be in control. Yep. So we might as well let the Spirit of God control us. Because he's going to push us in a better direction. That's why we are not to try to control the flesh. You know what the Bible says about the flesh? We are to crucify it. If you're in Galatians, you can turn over there. I'll read them to you. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It's not in the book, but it is in the book. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to say, when Jesus died on the cross for my sin, I died with him. I should die to myself. I should die to my flesh. I should die to my own desires. Not that I'm dead, I'm crucified with him, but I'm alive. But it's not me, it's Christ living through me. Amen. See, we play with the flesh way too much. We don't need to play with it, we need to put it to death. We need to put it down. We don't need to let it have dominion. We're supposed to realize that Jesus Christ died for our sin. He died for all of it, and we ought to be dead to our sin. That's why, you know, God forbid, just because of the grace of God, should we continue in sin? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin continue any longer therein? We're dead to it. We ought to kill it. The flesh should not be in control. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. You're to kill the flesh. He tells us what parts of the flesh we're supposed to kill. The affections. The things that it loves. By the way, we love wrong things. Mm-hmm. Look, put a salad in front of a kid or put a bag of Takis. The kid's going to eat the Takis. And the fact of the matter is, he'd be better off eating the bag, okay? Right? You know, we have snacks in the candy machine for the kids to buy at school. We don't put asparagus in there. Very low seller. Why? They don't choose the things that are good for them. The flesh is the same way. The flesh doesn't choose the things that are right for us. It chooses the things that are wrong. It doesn't like the things that are good for us. It likes the things that are bad for us. It's the affections, the things it likes, the things it loves, and the lust. That's the things it desires. Our desires are corrupt. We desire the wrong thing. And our lusts take over. So when we crucify the flesh, we can take care of those things. In Galatians chapter 5, he talks, even in the verses before the fruit of the Spirit, where he's talking here, he says a lot about the battle to avoid the works of the flesh. See, we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. The word walk, you know what that means. That means how you live your life. Live your life with the Spirit's leading. Let the Spirit work in your life and direct you through the Word of God. And yet, if we do that, we will avoid the works of the flesh, but we make a choice. In Galatians, it tells us we're to walk in the Spirit and we're not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Those two go together. There is no way, if you are seeking to be spiritual and you're walking, you're letting God direct your path, that you're going to go and willingly fulfill the lust of the flesh. You're not going to do that. Because you're allowing the Spirit to work in your life. You're allowing the Spirit to teach you and help you to avoid all of that. Why? Because there are certain actions and attitudes that are specific to each. What does the Spirit produce? Fruit. What does the flesh produce? Bad works. And so we constantly have this battle to walk in the Spirit and to avoid the lust of the flesh. Yep. And by the way, if you're walking in the Spirit, you will avoid the lust of the flesh for the most part. The Spirit is never going to direct you towards something which is wrong. You may direct yourself, right? You say, but Pastor, the Bible says we can overcome temptation. I know. Temptation that is common to all men. But if we're bringing the temptation on ourselves, it's not just a part of the daily life we're living, we're bringing it on, we're putting ourselves in temptation's target, that's on us, that's not on God. That's why some people say, man, I don't understand it. The temptation was just too strong for me. That's because you put yourself somewhere you should never have been. And once you made the choice to put yourself where you shouldn't been, it was a lot easier to do the thing you shouldn't do. So you got to fight it. We should guard ourselves from anything that would cause us to stray from spiritual behavior to fleshly behavior. Just be very careful. Is this going to help me? Is this going to put me in a place where it's going to be, you know, harder to do the right thing? In Galatians 5, we see sometimes good things can be used as an excuse to do bad things. Look at Galatians. It's not in the book, but you should look at it. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. You have your Bibles. He says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. You know, the Spirit gives us liberty. How does it give us liberty? It gives us liberty from sin and the works of the flesh. It keeps us away from that. You see, when we are living by the works of the flesh or we're living in sin, we are not free. We're in bondage. And the Spirit helps us bypass all of that. That's the liberty. But some people are going to use liberty as an excuse or an occasion or a reason to live in the flesh. That does not make sense. If the Spirit's trying to keep us from the works of the flesh, why would we use our liberty and our grace in Christ to excuse living in the flesh? That makes zero sense. Grace gives us power over sin. They had liberty to not to have to keep the law for salvation. But they wanted to take that liberty a step further and use it as an excuse to not obey the law after salvation. Do you see how that works? There is nothing you can do to get to heaven. Nothing. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God for that. Okay. You know what? Jesus did it all. We're just trusting what he did and putting our faith in what he did. So therefore, we don't have to keep the law for salvation. But what happened in the Galatian church and what happens in a lot of churches, they say, well, if you don't have to keep the law to be saved, you don't have to obey the Bible to be saved, then after you're saved, you don't have to obey it because you're under grace. Not for salvation, you're right. But if you want God's work in your life and you want to avoid the works of the flesh and you want to rebuke the desires of the flesh, then you better do what God says. We don't do it to get salvation. We do it because we have salvation. Big difference. Occasion means opportunity or incentive. I can't understand how people can use the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ as an incentive to do that which is wrong. And then it talks about how that helps us to treat one another. So he admonishes us to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? So that verse 13 is not violated. We don't use it as an excuse. Fulfilling the lust of the flesh always will lead to doing the works of the flesh. But conversely, walking in the Spirit will lead us to produce the fruit of the Spirit. So it's our choice. There will be negative traits and actions that are experienced in the life of anybody who is not walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, understand, is the remedy to the works of the flesh. It is. So I don't want to, you know, I struggle with things. And by the way, we're always going to struggle, don't get me wrong. But if you struggle to the point where you can't have victory, it's because you're not walking in the Spirit. You're not allowing the Spirit to control you. The struggle's there, but the struggle's not as hard, if that makes sense. Right? Because you have the Spirit of God working in your life. And if we're not walking in the Spirit, that's the reason that we get into the works of the flesh. Look at the verses there in your Bible. These are not good things. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. And then he tells us which they are. You ready? Some of these are really, really bad. All of them are wrong. Adultery. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness, which is just riotous living. Idolatry, witchcraft. Now think about witchcraft for a minute. What is witchcraft? What did Satan tell Eve? You can be your own God. Yep. You're in control of your life. Okay? And this is what he told Saul. He said, you know, you're into the witchcraft because you did your own thing. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Yep. Hate, I won't go all of it, but witchcraft. Hatred. So I struggle. There's some people I just don't like. I was going to say get in line. There's some people you may not connect with, but you should not dislike people. And if you say you hate somebody, let me just throw this out. This is free. Jesus, God says you don't love him. If a man say he loved God and hates his brother, he's a liar. I'm going to side with God on that one, okay? But I know people are irritating. I get it. Why? Because I'm irritating. Hey, nobody said amen. Thank you. Okay. Variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings. Look at now, envy. You know, well, envy's not that bad. I just want what somebody else has. Look whose envy's neighbor is. Murders. I mean, I don't know. That's a pretty bad list, right? You know, the following are horrible people. Hitler, Charles Manson, Jerry Montgomery. It's a list I don't want to be on. Jerry, you know, it's like, Jerry's like, how did I make that list? Okay? These keeping really bad. This is what God thinks of these things, not me. Drunkenness, we can go over that and over that. Revelings, those two go together. We'll see that later or on Sunday. And such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I told you in time past, that they do which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I mean, these are horrible, horrible, horrible things that no believer ought to ever be involved with. Amen. Now, I know sometimes there's small, I'm talking about it's controlling our lives. There are some of the things you look at that aren't bad, like, you know, strife and envy. Some of them, because they're not controlled by God, those things are so out of control, they can't get along with anybody. They'll argue and fight with anybody. These are horrible, horrible things. Here's the point, and we'll step away and we'll pick it up next week. We have a choice. We are either going to walk in the Spirit and we're going to avoid these things, or we're going to get stuck in the works of the flesh. The choice is yours. You say, well, I've never chosen. Then let's go back to the beginning. You're defaulting to the flesh. So there are, no matter which side you're living on, flesh or spirit, in a sense, it's called works, but we could say this, they both bear fruit in your life. Yep. The works are the bad fruit. You can't be neutral. I'm just telling you. This thing about I'm just a neutral Christian and, you know, I'm not crazy for God, but I'm not going to live in the world, it does not work. First of all, because you're categorizing sin in a way God doesn't. You can't walk on the fence. You've got to make a decision. And so choose to walk by the Spirit of God. Choose to grow in your faith. Let God do something in your life. Don't just be satisfied with being a Christian. Be a fruitful Christian. Be a Christian that looks back and says, you know what? I'm not there, but I can see God doing something in my life. I can see God using me for some type of eternal good. But you have to choose to allow Him to do that. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for the word of God and your admonitions. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to choose to allow you to direct our life. Lord, sometimes we may momentarily go off course for a little bit and get back on course. We may trip and stumble along the way. But whatever it is, Lord, help us to allow the Spirit of God to control us. Let the word of God guide us and help us to avoid by any means necessary, the flesh, its affections, and its lust. Bless these folks. Thank you for them being here at church. I pray you bless us. Help us until we be with us until we meet together again on Sunday. Give us a great weekend of serving you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.